You're listening to JTE Movie Thinks. Is that the title? Is that correct grammar? All right, we'll go with it. It's a show about movies and thinking. And now, here's your host, every man's hero, JTE.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of JTE Movie Thinks. Back with another episode, a highly demanded episode. I got a funny story. I ran into a fan. Listen, I run into a lot of fans once in a while, especially if I'm at a con. But I just came out of Amoeba. I just bought Bridge on the River Kwai, classic DVD, actually Blu-ray, special collector's edition. And this guy stops me. I have my earbuds in. He goes, "Is that JT?" And I think it's somebody I know, and it's just some random fan. He's like, "Oh my God." He goes, "I don't have my phone on me. I can't believe I don't have my phone on me." He's like, "I got a picture with you." His friend comes over, has no idea who I am. His friend's just like, "Who is this guy? Why are you excited?" And because this is like an older guy, this wasn't like a kid. And he's like, "Oh man." And this is one of the first things that I've gotten. Like when I go to the cons, people know me from Schmoes Know. Recently from Screen Junkies, and they've known me from Box Office Breakdown, the show I do for Popcorn Talk. But this is the first guy that said, "I listen to JT Movie Thinks." And I was like, "Oh man, I know there's only a few thousand of you out there." So to see one of them in the wild, that's a whole different ideal for me. So I was like, "What? Movie Thinks? You listen to Movie Thinks?" The first thing he said was, "When you having Dan Merle back on?" I was like, "Soon." I was like, "I've been talking to him." And that earlier that day, somebody tweeted it, which was weird. I don't know if like these guys are friends or what, but I was like, "Yeah, I was talking to Dan earlier today. He's going to be on next week, and this will be the next episode since that happened."
Awesome.
So my guest, everybody, Dan Merle, the champ.
I'm here.
What's up, buddy?
I'm happy to be here. I love doing this.
Yeah, this was, when was last, the first time you were on was like
last
fall,
it was a while
fall,
ago,
right?
Yeah, we talked about that thing you do, among other,
right.
Many, many other things.
We still get tweets about that thing you do.
I know, we just saw one the other day. Someone just watched it for the first time. That was great.
Such a good movie. I picked it up on Blu-ray not too long after that, and the last time we talked, I've yet to watch the director's cut.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I've still watched the theatrical just because that's the one I grew up with, and I am going to watch the director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I love the original so much. I want to revisit the original cut first.
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm going to watch it. So guys, you guys know Dan Merle, Screen Junkies. He's the champ. I said it already. It's been pretty exciting lately, man. How you been loving the whole new belt thing?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
I mean, are you worried there's some people coming for your belt soon?
We got a lot of great people coming for my belt soon.
I remember Alicia Malone was like a heavy contender for a while.
She's always a contender.
She always is, but like there was a time where the last time we actually had one of these movie fight tournaments where she was like, she was like the number one contender in some ways, I would say, right?
No, I mean, I think Alicia's one of the best in the business as far as movie fights goes.
It is, man. She's so smart and she just knows her movies. And really, like I've been on twice now since, and I've been lucky enough to win. And for me, like, I'm not as good on the mic as, like, you or Christian or Mark or even Alicia. I'm just kind of like, I don't have great mic presence unless it's my own podcast because I have no pressure. But if you know movies, if you know your movies, you have a chance to fight. And that's what I love when you guys go to cons or the Wizard World, when you guys have these fan interactions. Like, if you get a fan that knows his stuff, he can put up a fight.
Oh, absolutely. There was a fan in New York Comic Con who I didn't know.
Nope.
Until afterwards, turned out to be Roxy's brother.
Oh, really?
Roxy Stryer's brother, Jet.
That's right, Roxy.
And none of us knew. I think until afterwards, he's like, "Yeah, I'm Roxy's brother." We're like, "What?"
That's
and
hilarious.
No idea. And I think we ended up tying because he took it to me.
Wow.
Man, it was a tough competition.
You know, part of you going in, do you not see that coming? You feel like, okay.
I'm always of the opinion that on any given round, any given day, I think a fan took me out in the last one we did, which was in... it's
New
all
Orleans?
Blurs. In New Orleans? Orleans, yeah. I think a fan took me out in New Orleans. So,
really? What was the category?
I don't even remember. Strangely, for some reason, my memory is a little fuzzy of New Orleans. But
who would have thought of that?
But no, I'm. You can go down at any time, any place. It's always a fun thing to do.
So literally looking forward to one day. I'm scared to fight you one day. I really am.
I think it's gonna happen sometime.
It's gotta happen eventually. Yeah. Because, like I said, when I being the engineer, I've seen all the game tape.
Yeah. You're a student of movie fights.
And when I'm in there, I'm always like, what would I say? What would I do here? Like, what would my argument be? And there's times where I'm like, you would be arguing. And I think to myself, oh, man, I'd bring this up and I'd show Dan up right there. Then somebody does that to you and you counter it. And I'm like, damn it. I was like, oh, man, I don't know what I would do if I was playing Dan. He has such good responses. But again, you do your homework. You come with these page of notes. Like, you do your, you know your shit. You're the champ for a reason, man. You're the first in the gym. You're the last out of the gym.
You're going to step into the Thunderdome. You got to be ready to go, man.
You really do. All right. So as you know how the shows go. That sounds horrible. I'm not going to edit that out because this is real.
All right. Just keep it rolling, baby.
Just keep it rolling.
Uncut.
I want to get into the usual show of, you know, what's the movie, last movie you watched, all that stuff, and get into it. But I want to do something because we're just coming off the Oscars.
Yep.
We did a crazy live stream for like 4 hours.
Yes.
The night of the Oscars. It was a hard day for me. Stallone lost.
Tough night.
I still don't understand it.
Uh-huh.
But that comes, a lot of people have been talking about, like, the way people have comforted me says, like, when does the Oscars ever get it right, really?
Rarely.
They do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They do sometimes. And I remember when I first started working here, working at Screen Junkies, we like to talk movies.
Yeah.
When we're not working, we're talking movies.
That's
anyway.
What we do.
And when I first started, I used to ask you guys, like, I would look up a year of the Best Picture winners,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be like, Dan, because it gets me a better idea of what your kind of taste is.
Sure.
I was like, what would win this year, man? What do you think? And then I would, like, but then we'd be like, wait, what was nominated that year?
Right.
So I would go back. So I'm actually going to do that right now with you.
Let's do it.
I have it pulled up. I'm going to start in 1990, because we are 90s kids.
We are, very much so.
I'm going to go from 90 to almost present day, and I'm just going to go through each year the nominations and what movie you think should have won Best Picture, and we'll go over what did Best Picture.
Great.
Okay, so this will be a little post-Oscar kind of celebration, and hopefully prove that they made a mistake by not giving Stallone the win.
Love it.
All right, so we're going to start in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
The films nominated that year were Goodfellas, Scorsese's maybe masterpiece.
Yeah.
Raging Bull would be that one, probably.
Mm-hmm.
The Godfather Part 3.
Nope.
Don't know how that got nominated.
Because it's a Godfather movie.
It's a Godfather. Ghost. People forget Ghost is nominated for Best
Huge
Picture.
Hit. Yeah, Best Picture nominee.
Yeah. R.I.P. Swayze.
Yep.
Dances with Wolves.
Which one?
The Kevin Costner, first time directed.
Yep.
And produced. And then the last one is a film I really just like, but I haven't seen in a while, is Awakenings.
Awakenings, yeah.
The Robert De Niro, Robin Williams film.
Yeah.
Is one of his first dramatic turns. More straight up dramatic. Like, you look at, like, Good Morning Vietnam, and that's so much comedy.
It's comedy, yeah.
But it shows his, like, Dead Poets Society was after this, too, right?
That was before.
Was
Dead Poets? It was before Awakenings, yeah. I think it was like 88, 89.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But Awakenings was like a prestige drama.
Yeah.
Interesting. Absolutely.
Really good movie about a guy who comes out of a coma or a disease.
Yeah.
It's hard to get into. But all right, so Awakenings, Dance with Wolves, the winner. Ghost, Godfather 3, and Goodfellas.
It's obvious. It's
right?
Goodfellas.
It's
Goodfellas should have won. Dance with Wolves is fine.
Yeah.
But Goodfellas obviously should have been the winner there.
Dance
so
Wolves,
they're 0-1.
It's one of those movies I went back, tried to rewatch when I was, like, not older, but, like, you know, when I was, like, really getting into film. And I was really kind of like, this movie's kind of boring.
Goodfellas or Dance with Wolves?
No, Dance with Wolves, not Goodfellas.
Yeah, no, Dance with Wolves is fine. It's It's an epic.
Yeah.
Oscars love movies that are like 3 hours long. And yeah.
So
I'm going to keep track here. So they're 0-1.
Because Goodfellas. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea. Keep track. So Goodfellas, that's a, you know, home run. What would be your runner up out of the other four? Godfather 3, Ghost, Dance with Wolves, Awakenings.
Well, I haven't seen Awakenings.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No.
Highly recommend it.
So pending that, I mean, I guess my runner up would probably be Dance with Wolves. It's not a bad
really?
Movie,
okay.
But I don't think it stands, you know, the
it's
test.
It's funny because I would probably go Awakenings.
Oh, there you go.
So definitely check that movie out.
Yeah.
I've seen all of these movies, but trust me, we're going to come across some I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So 1991, the 64th Annual Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Best Pictures was Beauty and the Beast, the first animated film.
Nominated for Best Picture, yeah.
Yeah, nominated for Best Picture. Bugsy. I vaguely remember it.
Yep.
Maybe that's the Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's maybe because he was such a Hollywood icon. I feel like maybe they just gave that to him. JFK. One of my favorite Oliver Stone
great
films.
Great movie.
The Prince of Tides, a movie that I have not seen.
No. Barbra Streisand, Nick Nolte. She's a psychiatrist or something, I think. I don't know. That was another big one, nominated for a lot of awards.
Didn't see it. And then you got 1991's winner, The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
that's a great movie.
I can't fault them for giving it to Silence of the Lambs.
I
love JFK,
but
if they could tie, I would give it the tie, but I can't fault them for choosing Silence of the Lambs.
I can't either. It is a two-way race for me. It would be JFK or Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
But this is one of the years I think the Academy probably got it right.
Yeah, so one for two.
All right, 1992, the 65th annual Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Best picture that year, The Crying Game.
That was a nominated one.
That's one that I feel like doesn't get brought up a lot these days.
No.
Unless it's a joke.
Like The Sixth Sense, it was one of those that, you know, shh, keep the secret.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like the erotic Sixth Sense. A Few Good Men, Rob Reiner.
Great movie
based on a play, I think, Mamet. Or Sorkin.
Sorkin. Sorkin wrote the play and the
this
screenplay.
This was his first screenplay also.
Yeah.
Yeah, great movie. Howard's End. Do you remember Howard's End?
It's got Anthony Hopkins in it.
Okay.
And Emma Thompson, I think.
Yeah,
maybe. I always get that in Remains of the Day mixed up because they look like the same movie to
me. Yes, you're totally right. Remains of the Day might come up. I don't know if that was earlier. Howard's End. I honestly never seen it. Don't really remember anything about it except for a lot of fancy English-speaking people.
Yep.
Set of a Woman.
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! The best, one best actor.
Pacino finally got it.
And then you have Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's Best Picture winner.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Westerns.
Really good movie. And a great Western. What was the first one?
The first one we got, Crying Game, Few Good Men, Howard's End, Set of a Woman, Unforgiven. I think this was kind of a weak year.
Not a great year. Again, I'm going to give the Academy the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to give it to him.
I'll give it to him. I think that A Few Good Men is a great movie, but I can live with Unforgiven. So, all right, they're doing all right. They're two for three.
Not too shabby. But yeah, I love Unforgiven. It's my favorite Clint Eastwood movie, hands down.
Yeah, it's good.
1993, 66th Annual Academy Awards. Best Picture, we got The Fugitive, Harrison Ford.
Great movie.
Directed by Andrew Davis, known for Under Siege.
Tommy Lee Jones won the Oscar.
Yes, for Best
Supporting. The first time Leonardo DiCaprio, I believe, lost an Oscar was this year. He lost for What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I believe, to Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. Here's a great film, In the Name of the Father. Daniel Day
Never
Lewis.
Saw it. Here it's great.
Really good. Yeah. Jim Sheridan. Yeah. Really good movie. The same guy that directed him in My Left Foot, which Daniel won his first Oscar for. You got The Piano, Harvey Keitel.
Yep.
That's a movie I've never seen.
Sees Ding Dong.
That's all I know about it.
Yeah, Sees Ding Dong.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
Yeah.
I just know that he sees Ding Dong.
Okay, gotcha. The Remains of the Day.
There we go.
Making a comeback.
Remains of the Day.
Mike Nicholas. Didn't know that.
Okay.
Okay. Never seen that either.
Yeah.
Not doing too good this year. And then, again, I think the Academy nailed it on the head. Best Picture winner, Schindler's List.
I mean, that's...
That's a no-brainer.
Three for four. Early 90s. They got their mojo in the early 90s. They're doing all right so far.
I think we're going to see a downward spiral.
Well, this next year. I know it's coming this next year. And I'll tell you right now, they ain't sweeping the early 90s.
All right, so 1994 to 67th Annual Academy Awards. Best Pictures, you got Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Unbelievable movie. Quiz Show, a movie I feel like is somewhat forgotten nowadays.
It has been.
Yeah, Robert Redford directed
it. Good movie.
John Turturro, great in it.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction, Game Changer.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Changed.
How many copycats were made after that movie?
So many. Launched the modern era, really, of mainstream.
Yeah.
These two words don't belong together, but mainstream independent cinema. It brought indie cinema to the mainstream.
I see what you're saying there. Yeah. Four Weddings and a Funeral. A very charming movie.
Fun movie.
Made Hugh Grant a star.
His star turn, Andy McDowell.
Yeah, a small film that just kind of blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your Best Picture winner, Forrest Gump. Yeah. Great movie. I know, I've heard you guys say it doesn't age as well.
It does.
I don't know if I agree with that.
There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just very surface. There's not much to it. It's a feel-good, heartwarming story about a not-so-smart man and stumbling and bumbling his way through history. There's nothing offensive about it.
I think Zemeckis did such a great job, though, catching each time period so well.
Yeah.
So as a history buff, I kind of just love that for that. But I will say, wouldn't it be my vote for Best Picture?
No.
Now, really, to me, it comes down to two. Pulp Fiction
and Shawshank.
Movies that couldn't be... They're very different.
They are.
One is much more a classical-type film.
Yes.
And one is the new wave of independent cinema. What would you give the vote to?
I would edge toward Pulp Fiction.
You would edge towards Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, the Academy got it wrong.
I will go with you in Pulp Fiction only because I think it's a landmark film. Shawshank could have been made 20 years earlier and still felt the same, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could have been made in a different era and still be that great.
Pulp Fiction had to be made right
it, it was a time capsule of that what was going on in the film industry at that time. Yeah.
So 3 for 5.
We got to give it to Pulp Fiction. Yeah. 1995 Best Picture nominees are Apollo 13.
Great movie.
Great movie. Babe.
Sure. George Miller.
Yeah, George Miller. I like Babe. It was okay.
Yeah.
Braveheart.
I don't know if George Miller did the first Babe.
No, he produced.
That's right. He directed Babe. Directed Babe 2. That's right.
Produced the first one.
Yeah.
Braveheart, Mel Gibson.
The winner.
Maybe his best film and the winner. The Postman. Mm-hmm. Il Postino.
Not the Kevin Costner one.
Not the yes. I literally thought about that for a second and said, wait a minute. Do I have Razzies or do I have Best Pictures up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Postman's a foreign film. I've heard of this film but never seen it. Have mm-hmm. you seen it?
No.
Okay, so we'll skip that. And Sense and Sensibility, another thing, another movie like
Jane
Reminds
Austin,
of the Day,
Reigns of the Day, Howard Zinn, big early beginning of the decade for Emma Thompson.
Yeah, it really was. I gotta say, to me, it's a two place race between Braveheart and Apollo 13.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people have argued Apollo 13 should have won, and I've heard a lot of people argue Braveheart did win and it should have.
Yeah.
Where would your vote go? Because I know where mine goes.
Probably with Apollo 13, wow. But I can't say that the Academy got it wrong.
Gotcha.
You know, was it the tie goes to the receiver?
Okay, I got you.
You know, I can't. Yeah. I would maybe personally prefer Apollo 13 a little bit, but okay. I can't fault the Academy for choosing.
I would
Braveheart.
Give it to Braveheart.
Okay,
it's one of the movies I fell in love with. I mean, I remember seeing Apollo 13 and really enjoying it. Like, man, that was amazing. But Braveheart was like. I don't know. It was just, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Movie watching. It's one of the few movies I watched back to back.
Yeah.
Watched it, immediately watched it again. Loved it.
So they're 4 for 6.
They're doing okay.
Still got a winning percentage.
All right, 1996.
96.
The best pictures are The English Patient.
English Patient.
Famously.
Which one?
Yeah. Famously beating out Fargo. Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Secrets and Lies. And Shine.
Shine's
one of those movies that doesn't get mentioned anymore, really.
No, it doesn't. And Jeffrey Rush is so great in that movie.
Yeah, he does give a great performance, but I feel like that's like the King's Speech is today. Like, no one's going to talk about King's Speech a couple years from now.
Right.
10 years from now, no one's going to talk about Shine.
Yeah.
Secret and Lies, Soderbergh. That was his first film, I believe, right?
No, that Secrets and Lies, I thought, was...
I don't think it's Secret Lies of Videotapes.
Van Trier, maybe? Lars
maybe.
Van Trier?
Oh,
I'm
is
not
it
sure
really?
Exactly. Or maybe Adam McGoyan. I forget.
Yeah,
Breaking
not
the
Wa-
No, Breaking the Waves was Van Trier. I think Secrets and Lies may have been Adam McGoyan. I'm not entirely sure. I remember that being the year that everyone was just like, what a boring group. Nobody's even seen any of these. And that's
dumb.
What a dumb way to look at it.
Well, a lot of people saw Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
great movie. I'm surprised. I forgot that was even nominated for Best Picture.
I love
Jerry
Maguire.
Jerry Maguire's great.
Yeah.
English Patient. Does that? I always think of that great Seinfeld episode where Elaine is just like bored out of her mind. To me, if I was a voter, I'm giving it to Fargo.
Me too.
Coen Brothers.
It's such a great.
Recently on a Screen Junkie show, you made the great argument that it's the best of both of their worlds. It's their drama and their comedy in one film. That,
it is.
Because sometimes, usually they're on one side or the other. That one's just a perfect blend of both.
I feel like we gave the Academy the benefit of the doubt a couple times. Mm-hmm. I think we should say that maybe they didn't get this one. So
no,
right.
I think it should have been Fargo.
All right.
I can't give them The English Patient. It's one of those movies that was very forgettable to me.
Yeah.
I only saw it because it was a best picture.
It's a very Oscar movie. It's long.
Yeah.
It's a quote unquote epic, but mm-hmm. it's not. When's the last time you heard someone
talk
about
The
English Patient?
I hear about, like I said, English Patient is when someone's making fun of it.
Yeah.
I don't ever hear someone say, oh, I love The English Patient.
This is going to be an interesting year.
Yes.
Because this group, I remember this group.
You remember this group. Okay.
And this is a great group of movies.
I'm with you, man. 1997, As Good as It Gets.
No, I was looking, because I've been upgrading my DVDs to Blu-rays if they're on sale. As Good as It Gets is not on Blu-ray.
Really?
And
interesting.
It shocks me because that is such a good movie. And I feel like it's another one. People forgot. And it won Best Actor and Best Actress.
Yes, for Helen Hunt.
Nicholson and Helen Hunt.
That's right.
And I think that's a really good movie.
And The Soup Guy was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Greg Kinnear was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that movie.
Yeah, that's right. Even Cuba was in there.
Cuba was
coming off as Jerry Maguire.
Coming off Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, and James L. Brooks.
Jamie Kennedy, I believe.
Yeah.
Isn't Jamie Kennedy in that or
no?
No,
no
I'm thinking of Scream.
Okay, I was like, what?
Scream. He had the partner in crime in that movie.
I remember seeing that movie in theaters and really loving it, but have not. It's not one of those movies I've gone and revisited very often.
Oh, it's so...
And probably because it's not on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I hate when it happens.
Yeah.
But again, we got the full Monty.
Fun movie.
Fun movie. One of my favorites coming up here, Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting. Love Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. L.A. Confidential. I love L.A. Confidential.
I do too.
And then you got the winner, Titanic. And it's hard
Juggernaut.
It's so hard to argue against Titanic because it was the biggest movie of all time when it came out.
Yeah.
But L.A. Confidential, Good Will Hunting. For me, it's those three.
It's definitely those three.
Yeah, it's Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential, Titanic, and they're all very different. I can understand why Titanic won because of just the epicness and the old school Hollywood kind of filmmaking going on. But L.A. Confidential.
For me, L.A. Confidential is the one that I'm like,
I might go Good Will Hunting. I don't know.
I can't say they got it wrong, though.
No,
I think
I agree with you.
It's just a case of a lot of great movies being nominated.
I agree with you. I think you got to give Titanic only because of the critical and successful.
Yeah.
The box office success. So I think they got that one right, but I would have been fine with L.A. Confidential or Good Will Hunting winning.
Me too. So,
but it was Titanic's year. Do you remember that year, man? That was Titanic's year.
That was.
There was no
James
question.
Cameron was literally the king of the world.
He yelled it at the Oscars. I'm king of the world.
He did.
He wasn't lying.
This year.
All right. 98.
This is where we go off the effing rails. This is still one of the greatest travesties in the history of not only the Oscars, but awards in general.
Yes.
This is the turning point for me.
This is
with
the
Oscars.
It's
like from here on out is when they were for sale.
And I guess at the end of 97, they cleared the roster and brought a whole new team because we got Elizabeth. Great performance by Cate Blanchett.
Sure.
Life is Beautiful.
Great movie.
I really love that movie.
Yep.
They showed that to me in school, and I was like, this is a damn good movie.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan.
A masterpiece.
The Thin Red Line.
Thin Red Line, Malick.
Really well done film. Maybe probably the most beautiful film in this whole category.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the winner, Shakespeare in Love.
This Oscar, let there be no doubt, was bought.
Okay.
The Weinsteins bought this Oscar. They put more money into the Oscar campaign for Shakespeare in Love than had ever been put into a campaign before. This started the entire trend of, I'm going to put millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars behind a movie to win it an Oscar. And Shakespeare in Love beating Saving Private Ryan for Best Picture is a travesty.
It's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace.
It really is, yeah. I agree. I mean, Elizabeth, again, not bad. Life is Beautiful is really good. Thin Red Line, I actually really loved Thin Red Line when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
The cast is phenomenal. But it is a different, it's not the most accessible film.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan, listen, I love Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie and say it's a perfect film for me. I do have some problems, little teeny problems.
Uh-huh.
But the first, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
That should have been the Oscar alone. That alone should win you the Oscar for Best Picture. Because it was just like out-of-body experience when I was in that theater.
I think that Saving Private Ryan is up there with Spielberg's handful of masterpieces. I actually think it is one of the, for me, perfect movies from technically acting, writing, everything in that movie. And by the way, everything, like the Academy's 5-9 right now, it all goes downhill from here.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I was always curious. I love Schindler's List. I think it's a masterpiece. Imagine if tell me if I'm crazy when I say this. If they came out with like a black and white version of Saving Private Ryan, imagine watching that with Schindler's List, like back to back.
Interesting.
Because I don't want Schindler's List to be in color.
First of all, that would be the most hard to get through double feature of all time.
It would be tough, but maybe you split up between two nights.
Yeah.
But it would be a great, like, just him really. That's Spielberg's World War II.
Yeah.
Like, combination. I think Saving Private Ryan would actually work in black and white.
It could.
It would be a throwback to like Longest Days and all these old World War II films.
Absolutely.
Paths of Glory. I mean, yeah. 99. Here we go.
Big year for movies again.
Pretty big, yeah. We got American Beauty, which won it that year.
Yeah.
The Cider House Rules, which I have yet to watch, but Michael a friend Kite. Of mine got me for Christmas.
Yep.
And because he loves the movie, I've yet to watch it. Have you seen it?
I have.
Are you a big fan?
It's good.
Okay, interesting. All right.
It's good. It's a solid drama.
I'll temper
drama.
My expectations
yeah,
a little bit.
It's a solid drama.
The Green Mile.
I love that movie.
You love it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do.
The Insider, Michael Mann,
another
Sean
great
Penn,
movie,
Russell Crowe, and then the phenomenon of that year, The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense,
which is a great, say what you will about Shyamalama Ding Dong, this movie is amazing.
That movie is incredible.
Incredible. So again, American Beauty won it. Where would you have gone? Would you go Green Mile? Would you go Sixth Sense? I can't give it to Cider House Rules because I haven't seen it, and you said it's not a great. Insider, I like.
Cider House Rules is solid. It's just, it's fairly, you know, straight down the middle, I thought. Mm-hmm. It's a solid drama. There's great acting in it. Michael Caine won an Oscar for it.
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's right. Tobey Maguire.
It's weird. It's hard to divorce myself because American Beauty, for its time, was such a unique film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been aped and
but has it tested the state of time?
That's the thing. It's about half as deep as it thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Okay, I kind of get that.
It's got a very self-important, a very palpable feel of self-importance to it.
Totally agree.
I don't know. I think if I had the vote in 99, I would have given it to American Beauty, no question.
Okay, interesting.
But in retrospect, now I might go Green Mile.
So that's a question. Is like, do you vote for the time you're voting, or do
I mean, you have to. You have to vote for the time you're voting. So.
So
I can't fault them for giving it to American
Beauty.
So we're
going to give that one to him.
But it's close.
I'll give it to him only because none of these are, for me, are like a home run over it. You
right.
know what I mean?
There's not a slam dunk pick over American Beauty, even though those are really good movies.
All right, let's
hit 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10 so far?
6 out of 10 so far.
Pretty good. Yeah. 2000s. We're hitting 2000s.
Oh, here we go. I have a beef with this year, but go ahead.
Okay. That's right. That's very curious. Chocolat.
Mm-hmm.
Crouch and Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which was a huge thing that year.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich, which I'm not a fan of.
We're getting into the bought and paid for nominations.
Gotcha. Traffic.
Yep.
Soderbergh.
Yep.
And then you got Gladiator, which won Best Picture.
Requiem for a Dream was the best movie of that year, and it wasn't nominated.
No. Why?
Because all of these, once again, Chocolat.
Yeah.
Miramax.
Chocolat.
The Weinsteins were buying up Best Picture nominations like chocolate. In the 2000s, Chocolat had no business being nominated for Best Picture.
No business.
At all.
And then Aaron Brockovich's Traffic. Man, Soderbergh having two movies and Best Picture.
I have a clear favorite. It's a combination of a clear favorite versus, and I'm in the minority here.
Okay.
I don't think that Gladiator was anything special.
Okay.
I don't think it was bad.
Okay.
But when I went and saw it, I was like, okay.
Yeah, people forget it was a summer movie.
Yeah, it was a summer movie. It was fine. I was a little bored. I thought it was too long.
Yep.
I thought it was okay. And then it started winning all these Oscars, and I'm like,
wait, what?
What?
I had the same. You know,
Best
it's so
picture,
funny.
For me, Traffic, I thought of those was by far the best. Even Crouching Tiger.
Yeah.
But Gladiator, I've just always thought, and I'm in the minority. A lot of people love Gladiator, but
a lot of people
Best
love it.
Picture.
Here's the deal. I remember seeing it during the summer. The first trailer for seeing was during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl commercial had Kid Rock's ball with
the ball.
With the ball,
yeah.
And I remember seeing, this is like a fun action, you know, throwback sword and sandals movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember towards the end of the year, because again, usually these Oscar movies come at the end of the year. I was like, wait, Gladiator's getting mentioned?
Yeah.
That came out in like May. Like, what are you talking about? So, for me, you say Traffic. I like Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would have voted Crouch, Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Okay.
I absolutely love that movie. Chiang Fat was one of my favorite actors growing up. I was a huge John Woo fan. And I just, while the movie is artsy, I think almost everyone I've shown that movie to liked it. And it broke boundaries.
So can we say, even though we don't agree on the pick, I think we're both in agreement that the Academy got it wrong that year.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So
I think they got it wrong. A lot of people are probably going to argue with us on that one.
Yeah. Well, that's
guys, listen. Gladiator is, to me, is just, you know, Braveheart is a better movie if you want an epic war movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. For me, it was a cheapened Braveheart to me.
Yeah, it was fine. It's okay.
Yeah,
it was
fine. A lot of people compare it to Spartacus and stuff too, also, obviously. Yeah. 2001, the 74th Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real curious to hear what you think about this one.
Yes.
Moulin Rouge.
I like that movie a lot.
The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
I think that's the best of the three.
In the Bedroom, a movie I love, by the way.
I never
Tom
saw.
Wilkinson, Sissy Spacek, Marissa Tomei. Fantastic movie, guys. If you've not seen In the Bedroom, I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Godford Park, never seen it.
I love that movie.
Really?
A lot of people don't like it. It's an Altman movie. It's a English manor murder mystery movie.
Yep.
I am a big fan of Gosford Park. I really like it. Ryan Phillippe's in it, and he's great. Clive Owen is in it, and he's great.
Okay.
It's got such a... Bob Balaban is hilarious in it. He plays this, like, Hollywood guy who's there, like, researching.
Okay.
Maggie Smith. Watch Gosford Park. Excuse me. Watch Gosford Park. Maggie Smith is playing her character from Downton Abbey in Gosford Park. It's the same character, and she's hilarious. She's so funny.
The reason I didn't see Gosford Park is probably the same reason I haven't watched Downton Abbey.
Downton?
Just, what is it, Downton?
Downton.
It's not downtown?
No, Downton Abbey.
What the heck is Downton? Is that the name of a city?
That's the name of the abbey. It's okay. Downton Abbey. That's like where they live. It's in Downton Abbey.
As you can see, I should be watching shows. Mm-hmm. So I just, something about it, nothing attracts
me
to it.
It's not for everybody. Yeah. I just like those kind of like upstairs, downstairs, comedy, you know, murder mystery. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm weird. It's one of those genres that I like, and I'm a big fan of Gosford Park.
Understood. I totally understand. Mm-hmm. And then the winner, A Beautiful Mind. Mm-hmm. Not loving it.
No. Again, very quote-unquote Oscar movie.
It was like the trailer. It should have been called Oscar the Movie.
It should have been. It's like it's a biopic about a guy with a mental disorder.
Yeah.
It's very sanitized compared to the actual real story. You know, Russell Crowe is good in it. But, yeah, I would probably have given it to Fellowship of the Ring, if I'm being honest. Or even Moulin Rouge or Gosford Park.
Really? Interesting.
Any of those? I haven't seen it in the bedroom, but I think I would have given it to any of those other nominees over A Beautiful Mind.
This is funny. Like, I loved Lord of the Rings when I first saw it, but I like it more once the other two came out. Like, looking back, I like it now more than I did when I first saw it.
Sure.
Because it was the first part of a whole story.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge, I've never been a musical guy. I think technically it looks beautiful and it's well done. I know people love that movie.
I do. I love that movie.
Just something, I've just never really been getting into musicals.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Gosford Park I never saw, and Beautiful Mind is good, but I would give it to In the Bedroom.
So, again, can't agree on a choice, but they get it wrong. So now they're batting 500. They're at 6 out of 12.
6 out of 12. Okay.
They were doing good. They were 4 out of 6, and now it's dropping like a stone.
We're getting there. I think this is just going to be the whole show.
Sure. This is fun, right? They wanted to talk about aliens, but this is a good time.
I am going
to
have Dan
Merle. I'll come back. We'll talk about aliens. This is fun.
This will give me time to rewatch Aliens again for the 200th time.
And the director's cut, too. Because I want to talk about the director's cut versus the theatrical cut. So
I love some of the changes.
Guys, it won't be as long. I'll come back and talk about aliens, but this is fun.
This is fun.
I love getting wonky about this stuff.
And we're getting to talk about movies a lot of people probably haven't heard about.
Exactly.
Which I'm really digging.
Yes.
Let's go 2002.
Yes.
Best Picture. The winner, Chicago.
Yeah.
And I just told you I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
Next, Gangs of New York. Scorsese.
I'm not the biggest fan of Gangs of New York.
Okay.
It's good, but it didn't blow me away.
The Hours, also, never saw it.
Oscar the Movie. Nicole Kidman won Best Actress for wearing a fake nose in that movie. I'm sorry. It's so boring. It's just so boring.
The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Maybe my favorite of the trilogy.
Not mine, actually.
Interesting.
I don't dislike it, but I feel like it's the middle part, yeah.
And last but not least, The Pianist, Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
I'm going to just come out and say right off the bat, Gangs of New York, I agree with you. It's flawed.
It is.
The movie had more potential. It didn't live up to it.
I was so excited for that. Daniel Day-Lewis and Leonardo DiCaprio in a Scorsese movie about New York gangs.
I couldn't tell you how excited I was when I saw those trailers.
Yeah.
It was my most anticipated movie that year, probably. But it didn't live up to it.
No.
Hours, I never saw. Yeah. Lord of the Rings, I love Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. Mm-hmm. For me, it's The Pianist. I think Roman Polanski's, it's one of my favorite films of his. It's gut-wrenching. Adrian Brody's performance. A lot of people argued, you know, who should have won Oscar that year. I no problem with giving it to Adrian Brody.
No.
It's weird to think Adrian Brody's an Oscar winner.
Oscar winner that. Adrian Brody, yeah.
Yeah, you forget about that. But for me, it's The Pianist. I think Chicago, again, not a musical guy.
I am. I like musicals a lot, and I enjoyed Chicago. I liked
Best Picture, though.
Best Picture, I would have to agree that The Pianist, I believe, is a better picture. But there's one that wasn't nominated that I would have given it to over all of them, which is About Schmidt.
Oh, About Schmidt,
with the Jack Nicholson
Alexander
movie.
Payne.
Strangely, also not out on Blu-ray. I don't know what it is about Jack Nicholson Oscar movies, but they will not put them out on Blu-ray.
Is it the James Cameron deal? Like, half his movies aren't on Blu-ray.
I don't know. People forget that year when the Best Actor race, the entire discussion was, is it going to be Jack Nicholson or is it going to be Daniel Day-Lewis? Mm-hmm. Which one is it going to be? And Brody came in, snuck in there. And Polanski won Best Director.
Wait, but
for
Gangs
the
of New York, so wait, he didn't win Gangs of New York, wasn't supporting?
No.
It was lead?
It was lead.
What are they doing?
Yeah, so
if you throw him in supporting, it's a no-brainer.
Adrian Brody was a huge surprise that year. Polanski won a Best Director Oscar, and I get it. People have mixed feelings about Roman Polanski.
I think that played into it.
And probably did. But I have to look at the work, and I would agree. I like Chicago. I like the musicals. It was a fine adaptation of the musical. I think it was probably, I've seen Chicago on stage. I thought it was very well done cinematically, taking it and adapting it for film. But I think The Pianist is by far the better movie.
Rob Marshall, what has he done since?
More musicals.
Memories of Geisha, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I just think, again, Miramax, they bought the Oscar maybe a little bit.
Six out of, they're now below 500.
They're now below. I'm telling you, the roster
changed. But this one, I think they might get back up. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk about this one.
Yeah. This is interesting. All right. We got Seabiscuit. Tony McGuire horse movie.
Really good movie, by the
very
way.
Very good movie.
I don't know if a lot of people have seen it.
I was just about to say.
I think has the honor or dishonor of being like the movie that was nominated for the most, because it was nominated for like 12 Oscars and it won nothing.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Seabiscuit, I think people, when they just see a movie about a horse, they're automatically turned off for some reason.
Yeah.
But Seabiscuit is a really good movie with great actors.
Great actors.
And a little bit of throwback to old school filmmaking, man.
Yeah.
Next is one of my favorites of the year for sure, Mystic River. I'm a huge Mystic River fan. I understand there's some small problems with the movie, but I totally was happy with Sean Penn winning the Oscar that year. Are you a Mystic River fan?
Not over Bill Murray, I wasn't. I don't have any. Mystic River's fine.
Okay.
But for me, it was like, again, it was not quite as bad as Beautiful Mind. But for me, Mystic River was, let's put all these actors in there to win their Oscars. It's like everybody in that movie is swinging for the fence to win an Oscar.
Gotcha.
And I think Tim Robbins won, I think. And,
I think so, yeah.
And
Sean Penn
won.
Definitely won.
But for me, it's a fine mystery, but for me, it's a little bit overwhelmed by everybody. Like, Sean Penn is doing his, "Is that my daughter in there?"
Oh,
and he's screaming, and he's, like, so over the top. Yeah, and Tim Robbins' guy's like, "Well, I don't know, Jimmy. I don't know, Jimmy. Yeah. I get confused. Okay. I don't know what's going on, Jimmy." So, for me, the movie is a little overwhelmed by the fact that everybody in there is obviously aiming for an Oscar. It's a fine mystery, but I don't. Yeah. I'm not bowled over by Mystic River.
When's the last time you saw it?
Has it been a couple years, 2-3 years ago.
Okay, not too bad. That's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Next one is Master Commander.
I love that movie. And another movie that nobody talks about.
That's a movie I actually just rewatched it about 2 weeks ago for the first time in years.
Yeah.
I love that movie more for the technical side.
Fair enough.
Than I guess I do for, like, Peter Weir does a great job of putting you in that boat.
Yes.
Like, you feel like you're a passenger on that boat.
Yes.
Part of the crew.
Russell Crowe and Paul Bettany on a boat.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Master
Commander. Big fan of Master Commander. I remember there was a lot of talk for a while of them making a sequel, but it never came to fruition.
I know, because they were...
Because it's based on a book series.
It's a lot of books, And I'm a big fan of that movie.
Last two, Lost in Translation. Sofia Coppola coming out of the gate.
Yep.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. And then the winner, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, which really, let's be honest, was an award for all three movies.
It was. That's why I can't really fault them for giving the Oscar to Return of the King. I know people have qualms with it, but the fact that Peter Jackson adapted what most people thought was an unadaptable series of books and did it so well, and I can't fault them for that. I like Lost in Translation a lot. It's lost a little bit of a shine for me over the years as a movie, but I like Lost in Translation a lot. I'm a big fan of Master and Commander, but I cannot fault them for giving the Oscar to Return of the King.
Again, I agree. Everyone complains Return of the King ends a few times, and it's a little long, but it was for all three films. It really was.
Yeah.
And I cannot argue with that because it's one of the best trilogies. I argued on Schmoes No... It was the best trilogy ever.
I think it's in the discussion.
Because they were bringing up Star Wars, but for me, what finishes a little bit better? What finishes a little better?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so for me, my favorite trilogy probably of all time.
So they're back up to 500. 7 out of 14.
They're back on... Oh.
This is where we start slipping big time.
This is where we
derail.
Because
I know what's coming down the pike here, and we start really going off the rails here, though. This is where it starts getting bad.
So 2004, man, I can't wait till 2005. 2004 is Scorsese back with The Aviator.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Way the future. It's Way the Future.
Yes.
It's Way the Future.
Finding Neverland, one that hasn't really stuck with me.
Yeah, I saw it. I liked it, but it does not... memorable over the course of time.
Totally agree. The winner this year, Million Dollar Baby, Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Back again.
Yep.
Then you got Ray.
Good.
James Vox, solid. And then you got Alexander Payne, Sideways.
Yeah.
Right away, I'll say, I kind of side with them on this one. I kind of go with Academy. I don't know if I would. I like all these movies.
if we're going by the slam dunk rule.
Yeah.
Again, personally, I prefer Sideways.
Okay. Okay. I can understand. I can understand that.
But
Sideways is good.
Yeah, fine. I think it was just a weird year.
Would you give it to Ray? I want to give it to Ray. I definitely want to give it to Finding Neverland. The only competition for me is Sideways or Aviator.
Oh, man. Aviator. Aviator is such a good movie.
I know.
It's such a good movie. But it's not... It's not so great, and Million Dollar Baby is not so much less that I can say with absolute certainty that it should have won, and they got it wrong. So it's a reluctant
give it to them, but
yeah,
I do like Million Dollar Baby, and it does make me want to cry every time I watch it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, anytime Morgan Freeman's narrating your movie, it just elevates another level. Yeah.
And it won Morgan Freeman his Oscar finally.
So, yeah. And I do like Sideways. Alexander Payne, what's your favorite film his? Would it be about Schmidt or Sideways?
That's a great question. Probably.
Oh, or is it Election?
Election's great. I haven't seen Nebraska.
Okay. How about Descendants?
I liked it. Descendants was good.
Yep.
I would say probably actually About Schmidt.
Interesting.
The ending of About Schmidt is just
the last shot.
Gut punch.
The last shot.
Yes. Yeah. The last shot and the culmination of the entire movie leading up to that moment. I have to give it the edge on that because it's just such a beautiful but also heartbreaking coda to that movie.
I need to go back and watch About Schmidt. It's been a long time.
It's really good. It's really good. So I got to give the edge
to it.
It
does have one of the best closing scenes. My God. Last shots.
It's just
so
okay.
Good.
This is another 1998 situation here.
Yeah, here we go. This is the big one. And I'm interested to hear what you would put besides, because we know.
Oh, I know absolutely.
Okay,
what it would
absolutely.
Be.
Yes. All right, so let's go through it. You got Brokeback Mountain.
Yep.
Ang Lee.
Yep.
The 2005 Academy Awards. You got Crash, which won it.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Capote.
Wasn't that impressed with Capote?
Not that impressed. Okay.
Again, Philip Seymour Hoffman, great in the movie, but it seemed like let's win Philip Seymour Hoffman Oscar.
The big George Clooney film, Good Night and Good Luck.
I liked that movie a lot.
And then you got Spielberg back in the race with Munich.
Really good movie.
Really
People
good
forget that he made Munich. And
It's one of his forgotten ones.
It's one of his forgotten ones, and it's solid. It's a
really
solid
good.
Movie.
I actually just picked it on Blu-ray because it just came out on Blu-ray a few months ago, and I picked it up first weekend. So I hadn't seen it so long.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, Crash obviously was a huge...
Crash is not a good movie.
But
it
let me ask you this.
Pedantic.
Let me... Hold on. Did you like it when you first saw it?
Or no.
Because I'm going to not lie to you. I was in film school right when this came out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I was just in my film mode of mind, but I saw it and I liked it. I didn't love it. I wasn't walking out like best picture winner.
Right.
But I saw it and I said, oh, that was good. And so I'm not on this train where it's a horrible movie, which some people are. You're saying it's not good.
It's not. Check Rotten Tomatoes. I'll check it right now, actually.
I'll check it. Hold
Crash is not.
Is it not even
a
fresh?
A good movie. It got bad reviews. Didn't get good reviews. It is pedantic.
How's that possible for 75%?
It is one of the, but for a Best Picture winner,
yeah, that's
it is one
bad.
Of the most
88%
self-aggrandizing by the fans. Well, because they won Best Picture, it is the most self-aggrandizing, simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that it's the most. There are a lot of narcissistic picks for Best Picture, but the Academy giving Best Picture to the movie about white people dealing with racism in L.A. is the most self-involved.
Yeah.
When you had an actually important movie that actually took on important issues in a beautiful way, and that's Brokeback Mountain, which should have won that award.
Yeah.
It was a brave movie. It was daring.
Yep.
People don't realize 10 years ago, making a movie about two gay men,
It was
that was risky. They didn't think people were going to go see it. It was derided. People were kind of like, oh, the gay cowboy movie.
It was a game changer for sure.
The fact that Crash
won.
One is I mind-blowing.
Going back to watching Crash now, it does feel like a first film from a student filmmaker.
It is.
it's very, it paints in very broad strokes.
Yes.
There's nothing subtle about
no
it.
No subtlety in that
and
movie
I
pref- whatsoever.
I think great movies should be subtle at times. And it really does it. But at the same time, it's like an okay movie for me.
maybe I hate it even a little bit more because
I can understand that.
Such a demonstrably more nuanced, more artfully written and directed movie.
Totally understand.
Yeah. So that's a big
You would have gave it to Brokeback.
Yes. With a bullet.
Me personally, it would be between Brokeback and Munich, but I would have given it to Brokeback.
Yeah.
So I think we both agree they got it wrong that
Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Hathaway, all great in that movie.
Yeah.
Before he went crazy, Randy Quaid.
Oh, he's
their boss.
That's right.
And he's good at that movie.
I totally forgot that was Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Before he went nuts, man. Yep. Wow. All right. So what is the score right now?
They're 8-16. So we're back to 500.
Back to 500. All right. Let's see where we're at here. 2006.
Yep.
Babel.
Mm-hmm.
The Departed.
Yep.
Letters from Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yep.
And The Queen.
I mean, I'll cut right to it. Of that group, they got it right. I love The Departed. It's a great movie. Those other movies are good.
Yeah.
But there's not a great movie. The Departed is one of those movies that if it's on, if I'm flipping through HBO and The Departed is on, it doesn't matter where in the movie it is, I will stop and watch it.
I have a complicated relationship with The Departed.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because I am a huge fan of Infernal Affairs.
Yeah.
The Hong Kong film directed by Andy Lau.
Yep. I've seen it. It's good.
But here's the thing. I saw it before The Departed. And I was so in love with that movie that when I heard that Scorsese was directing it, at first, I was excited because I was like, awesome. Scorsese adapting it, but have you ever had a movie you love be remade that you saw a year? I literally saw Infernal Affairs a year before The Departed and then was like, I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the remake comes out and they change things there are certain scenes that I think the original pulled off better.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone I meet likes The Departed better, mainly because I think they saw it first.
Maybe. The part blew me away, and I didn't have anything,
baggage
attached
happen.
To it, and I didn't know anything that was going to happen, and so I probably loved it as much as you loved Infernal Affairs, because it's the first time I'd seen the movie.
It's true. So, like, to me, did they get it right? According to most people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to me, no. I would have probably given it to Babel. Mm-hmm. I thought Babel was great.
Babel's good, but, man. I just love The Departed.
You love The Departed, yeah. See, I hate that I was robbed of that love, Dan. But I'm not really because I love the original so much.
Sure, that's fine.
I will say, Departed was the first movie where I was like, damn, DiCaprio needs to win an Oscar soon.
Oh, and when he wasn't nominated for that? He wasn't nominated. Matt Damon wasn't nominated. Mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson wasn't nominated. The only person nominated from The Departed was Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
He's good in the movie, but he's in like... 4 scenes.
I know.
I mean, he's great in the scenes that he's in, but of everybody in that movie that did such great work, the only one to get nominated is Mark Wahlberg.
I agree. I mean, again, for me, when it comes down to it, is there certain scenes and themes that are in the original Infernal Affairs? Mm-hmm. Matt Damon's character is an absolutely despicable character in Departed.
Yeah.
In the original Infernal Affairs, you actually get to feel for that character.
Yeah.
And one of the big changes is I think Leo and Matt Damon are undercover for like a couple years.
They're undercover for a while, yeah.
It's like one or two or 3 years.
Yeah.
And Infernal Affairs, they're undercover for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
And it changes that. When you're undercover for 13 years, it changes how you see everything.
Well, you know, I can't. I like I said, I saw Infernal Affairs. I think probably my enjoyment of it was lessened a little bit because I'd seen The Departed.
Exactly.
But there's scenes in that, apart from that are just like, I love when the scene in the elevator right before, spoiler alert, before Leo gets capped.
Yeah.
Where Matt Damon is, you know, Leo's got him in handcuffs, and Matt Damon's like, just like, I can't wait to see you explain yourself in front of a Suffolk County judge. That's going to be hilarious. And he sits there, and Leo's just like standing there, like,
yeah.
You know, obviously he's just, he can't get to him anymore. And can I curse on this?
Yeah, of course.
And Matt Damon just sits there and just goes, just fucking kill me. Kill me.
Because he knows it's over.
And to see that kind of melt away, like you see him, and you just watch him in his performance. You see he's got this bravado and he's trying to maintain the front, and he just realizes like he's been busted.
In the original Four Affairs, you don't see, just like The Party, you didn't see it coming.
Uh-huh.
But I just hated that Anthony Anderson was the guy.
Oh, come on.
I know
on.
This guy from all these comedies.
Oh, come
and
on.
And I'm just like, really? You got Anthony Anderson to play that guy? I don't know. It didn't hit as well for me.
The writing in that Departed is just like, it's got one of my favorite lines in any movie ever, which is just like, when they when they botch the raid, when they don't get him on camera, it's just like the Mark Wahlberg. Just like, who's this guy? It's like, I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy. It's like so good. And then Alec Baldwin is great in that movie. He's like, I don't have a cigarette. You smoked. You don't smoke. What are you, some kind of health nut? Go fuck yourself. He's so good.
So much yelling in that movie. It's just, especially Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg. All right, well, let's go to 2008.
So can we give it a pass?
I'll grudgingly give it to him.
All right.
But not my personal vote.
Fair enough.
2008 or 2007? No, sorry, 2007. I almost skipped one.
I gotta make sure we get our averages right here.
We gotta get these right. 2007 Best Picture, Atonement.
Yep.
Juno. There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And No Country for Old Men. Now let's get down to it.
Okay.
This was a heavyweight battle. This was Frasier and Ali.
It was.
It was There Will Be Blood.
Between
versus
Juno and Atonement.
No!
No.
Juno did not. That's a movie that has not aged well.
Fine.
No Country for Old Men. There Will Be Blood. In the film geek community, I feel like there was two camps.
Mm-hmm.
You were There Will Be Blood or No Country. I was in the No Country for Old Men camp.
I was in There Will Be Blood. I think There Will Be Blood, again, is a masterpiece.
I would say the same exact words for No Country for Old Men.
I've seen that movie 5 or 6 times.
Which one?
There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
And every time I watch it, even though it's almost 3 hours long, mm-hmm. when it's over, I'm just like, it's over? It's already done?
Yeah, you don't feel the length.
It's one of the best movies mm-hmm. that's been made this century. I don't have any animus toward No Country for Old Men, but I think it's got some issues.
Really? Okay, interesting.
I think it's got some, and I get why it's structured the way mm-hmm. that it is, but I think there's some things that aren't very satisfying in that movie. Josh Brolin's character never really gets a resolution, and I get why they did it that way, I've just spent 2 hours with this guy, and he's mm-hmm. just gone.
The funny thing is, everyone I know that love both these movies.
Yeah.
The other side will always say to the other side, I didn't love your ending.
Yeah.
Some people don't. Not everyone loves the ending for There Will Be Blood, the very last scene. Some people love it.
Some people do.
Some people don't like the very last scene.
I wasn't sold on it until
Country.
3 or 4 times. But maybe my 3rd time through There Will Be Blood, when I had time to really sit and study and examine mm-hmm. the movie and examine the performances and the themes of it, did the ending for There Will Be Blood finally click for me to where I'm like, okay.
Gotcha.
I get it. I
And how about No Country?
No Country is...
Did you enjoy the ending?
I don't think that there is a definitive answer to the ending for No Country, which I'm not saying there has to be, but it's frustrating. It can be frustrating as a viewer because when you leave that much left up to interpretation,
mm-hmm.
I admire that a film does that. But it's also, for me, There Will Be Blood's ending kind of perfectly wrapped up his character.
Interesting.
Because my interpretation on the ending of There Will Be Blood with I'm Finished is you see this man who, over the years, completely bit by bit, piece by piece, discards every shred of humanity that mm-hmm. he has until he becomes a monster.
Okay.
And so, right before the end scene, you see him send his son away.
Yep.
And that is essentially the last thing that he had, the last thing that mm-hmm. was tying him to this world. And he said, I don't like people.
Yeah, there's a greed in me.
There's a competition. I don't like these people. And so for me, the ending is Paul Dano comes back. Uh-huh. He's disgraced, and he finally gets rid of this thorn in his side. This the only person that ever bested him. The mm-hmm. only person that ever humiliated him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So when he says, "I'm finished," to me, that's him saying, "Like that's it."
Yeah,
I am the monster that I have been turning into for my entire life. Yeah. I have nobody. I have no one. I'm done.
I abandoned my boy.
I abandoned my child. I abandoned my boy. That scene where he's just playing into it. And he's just like, okay, and he's just playing along. Yeah. Oh my god.
One thing I'll say about both these movies, they're both masterly crafted.
They are.
There's not like
and they were filming in the same area at the same time.
It's crazy. There's something in the air at that time where they were.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but so for me, No Country for Old Men, it's hands down. For you, it's hands down. There Will Be Blood. I think we gotta call it a draw and give it to them.
Yeah, we did it with what was the last one?
Yep.
So I can't.
Can't begrudge him.
Practice what I preach here. It's like the Oscars are actually doing better than I thought. We're 10 for 16 now.
Yeah, I thought 2000 was going
to
be
a little rough patch. We're about to hit a rough patch, I think.
Yeah, and this is one I'm really curious about from you.
Yeah.
2008, you got Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah. And this is the first, this was the last year where they limited it to 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
The next film is Frost Nixon, Ron Howard, back mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
Milk, another Academy Award winner for Sean Penn.
Yeah.
The Reader, the Nazi in hiding movie with Kate Winslet. And then you got Slumdog Millionaire, the feel good movie of the year. So the winner was Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
Which I can't disagree with.
Out of that group, I can't fault them for that. But
So where would your vote have gone, though?
Out of those, I guess Slumdog Millionaire. I guess.
I really like Frost Nixon.
Yeah, it's good.
I think that movie's gotten a little forgotten, and I want to champion it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think there's so many good performances, especially by the two leads, Frank Langella and Martin Sheen. And it's like a chess match, the way these two guys, it's based on a play.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a fantastic film of just two people sitting down trying to outsmart each other. And you think just an interview can't be exciting, but it can be. I think Ron Howard does a great job. Now, again, do I think it's the best picture?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think they're all good.
Yeah.
But if out of that group, I can't say they got it wrong necessarily because.
So Slumdog wins in a weak year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the way you'd put it?
Exactly. The big news was that one of the big reasons that they changed the rules after this year was The Dark Knight. Because The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture, and there was such an outcry that the next year the Academy said, okay, we're not limiting it to 5 nominees. We are going to change the rules so that up to 10 movies can be nominated for Best Picture because they wanted the box office hits to start sneaking in. So, you know what? So we're going to give them a check.
We're going to give them one.
A pass, but, well, they're doing better than I thought. All right.
Now, they might have hurt themselves by opening up to 10. Because now you're getting giving people more movies to be angry about not winning.
Hang on. I gotta check my math. Because I think it was 6 out of 12, 8 out of 15, 8 out of 16, 9 out of 17, 10 out of 18. So they're 11 out of 19 right now.
Pretty good. We didn't get into the 80s, though. But from the 90s on, what we've been watching, for the most part, they've done pretty well.
So they're 11 out of 19. So let's... Let's move on to 2009.
Let's move on to 2009 Best Picture nominees. Again, we're going more than 5 now. Yep. We got Avatar, Big Money Baker.
Yeah.
Blindside, don't know how that's nominated. District 9, I loved.
Good movie.
And Education, never saw it.
I think I saw that one.
You think you saw that one?
That was the one with...
The girl from... with her and what's his name?
Yeah, exactly. It was good. I remember liking it a lot.
God, I can't remember her name now. Yeah. She was in Wall Street Never Sleeps, too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She was nominated for, I think, Best Actress for that.
Yeah,
I liked it, even though I can't remember anything about it.
The winner that year, The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And Glorious Bastards, Quentin Tarantino. Precious, based on a novel by Push.
Yep, by Sapphire.
Or by Sapphire. Push by Sapphire.
Yeah.
A Serious Man, Coen Brothers are back.
I like that movie.
Up. I loved Up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Alexander Payne? No, that was Jason Reitman.
Up?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
You're thinking Up in the Air.
I'm thinking Up in the Air.
Up was Pixar, and Up in the Air was Jason.
Both nominated.
Yes, that's the same year. Up and Up in the Air.
Up and Up in the Air. Another animated film nominated for Best Picture. That you're starting to see that now because you have the more nominees. All right, so the winner was Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
I've mentioned all those movies. Immediately, I would go Glorious Bastards.
Me too.
Yeah.
For me, that's a clear winner.
It's a clear winner. If I had a runner-up... Up in the Air or District 9, maybe?
Yeah. I don't dislike The Hurt Locker. I just...
Yeah.
I think Kathryn Bigelow absolutely deserved her win for directing it. Because of the style of the movie, the performances and everything. The
very well-directed movie.
But for me, Inglourious Basterds is a clear winner in that category.
I'm right there with you.
So we're
going
to say we got it wrong. Yeah, so that's now 11 out of 20.
Okay.
So they're just hovering above 500.
There.
And we've got...
It's okay. So it's 50% of the time they're right or wrong so far. 2010, the 83rd Academy Awards Best Picture, Black Swan.
Yeah, good movie.
The Fighter, good movie. Yeah. Inception, was nominated for Best Picture. I was arguing with somebody the other day whether it was nominated or not.
It was, yeah.
Inception, we have a certain thing with that movie we'll talk about. We don't want to say.
Rather not remember.
Yeah. The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. That was nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
127 Hours. Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Coming back right after Slumdog. Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
True Grit, another Coen.
Yeah.
Winter's Bone. Man, a lot of nominations this year.
Okay.
And then The Social Network.
Wait, but who won that year, right? King's Speech?
King's Speech.
Was that on the list?
Yeah. Did I say it? Did I not say it?
Yeah. Again,
King's Speech.
Easy for me. The Social Network.
Yeah, I'm right there.
It's a phenomenal movie and should have won Best Picture. Right and not there. Only should The Social Network have won, The King's Speech is utterly forgettable.
I totally agree. I would think the only movies, like, I'm with you. Social Network, hands down, number one movie that year. People still mention today. People do not mention 127 Hours. But me personally, it's not even close for the second. Like,
not even close.
It's not even close to this King's Speech.
No. There's no contest.
But a lot of good movies in here. True Grit, Toy Story 3. I enjoyed Inception and The Fighter.
Yeah.
All these are solid films, but for me, my favorite film is hands down The Social Network.
Yeah. No contest.
No contest whatsoever. All right, we're moving on to 2011. We only have four more years to go here. The Best Picture nominees for 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So the Academy definitely lost that one.
Yeah, so they're now 11 for 21.
Yep. The Artist.
Oh, boy, they're about to be 11 for 22. Okay.
The Artist won in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But what was also nominated was The Descendants.
Yep.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. How the F did that even get nominated?
Know. That was bought. I remember I watched the nominations that year when they said that movie. Yeah. Everyone went,
I think it's at like 30-something% on Rotten.
Yeah, it was not a well-reviewed movie.
Yeah, The Help.
The Help.
Yeah. I never saw The Help.
Me neither.
Okay, interesting. Hugo, Scorsese.
Good movie.
Like
that a lot.
A love letter to the film fans, mm-hmm. but I don't know how many people outside of like real film people would really like that movie.
Yeah.
Midnight in Paris, a good return of form for
Woody
Allen.
Movie.
Moneyball, I really dug Moneyball.
Yep.
Really dug it. As Red Sox fans also.
Yep.
Because they had Red Sox in it. The Tree of Life, Terrence Malick movie.
Not my bag.
Which has there's a great 5-minute sequence in it.
not my bag, that movie.
Yeah, not my bag either. A movie I did not, listen, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close should have got nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Neither should War Horse. War Horse was not good.
Minor Spielberg.
Minor Spielberg. No one talks about War Horse unless they're making fun of it. So again, The Artist won. Let me just go on and say I like The Artist.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a horrible movie.
It's not, but it's
a hard sell.
Nothing special.
It's a silent film. But did you not watching it feel like you were watching it? Did it feel like I was watching them making an old school film? I feel like I was watching an old film. Did you ever feel that way?
It didn't really connect to me.
So
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at all these, and I think it's a pretty weak year.
It's not there's a strong not, year.
It's not like a home run hitter.
But there's
here.
Three or four I would have given it to.
Who would you give it to?
Hugo?
Okay.
I would have given it to over The Artist.
Okay.
What were the rest?
Descendants?
No.
Midnight in Paris?
Yes.
Moneyball?
Yes.
Tree of Life, War Horse?
No. So three. Okay. Descendants, Moneyball, or Midnight in Paris, I would have given it to over The Artist.
Yeah, for me, it would have been Moneyball, the Descendants, and I would put The Artist in the running.
But regardless, I think we both agree that they didn't pick the best one.
But which one would you automatically is a home run over it, though?
It's not, for this
it's
one, it's not
year.
So much that there's one that's automatically a home run. It's that it's just not the best out of any of them.
What's the best you said?
Moneyball, I would have given it to. Midnight in Paris, I would have given it to.
The Descendants?
Not The Descendants, no.
Really? Okay, so I really like Descendants. So what do we say? Do we give them this year or no?
I don't give them this year, personally.
So
you
would take Money. You know what? I really like Moneyball, so yeah. I'll go with you on this one. Okay. Give it the Moneyball.
Yeah. If we get up to another toss-up,
we'll
give the...
Hugo's really freaking good,
Hugo's
too.
Hugo's so great. And okay, so they're back down to 500.
I think Hugo's doing the same thing The Artist was,
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe better.
But better.
So maybe I'd give to Hugo.
Yep.
2012, the Best Picture nominees were Amour.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw it.
Nope.
Argo, the winner that year.
Argo, yeah.
Argo, go fuck yourself.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Beast of a Southern Wild. I did not love that movie. I saw it, and people went in an uproar for that film.
Uh-huh.
I just did not love it. Did you?
It's
okay.
It's been on my cabinet for...
Yeah, it's hard to go...
A year. I haven't watched it. It's been on my Netflix. Well, like the last physical DVD I got from Netflix.
I doubt you're going to love it. You might feel like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I think you'll watch it now and be like, what was all the hype about?
Right.
Django Unchained, Tarantino.
Yep.
Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
Life of Pi. Lincoln.
Yep.
Silver Linings Playbook and Zero Dark Thirty. Now, Argo was kind of like the fan favorite, I think, going in. I immediately have, for me, it's an easy choice.
Yeah.
I would give it to Zero Dark Thirty.
Really? Yeah, I would give it to Django or
Django, really?
Django or Zero Dark Thirty or a couple of those in there. Actually.
Silver Lining?
No.
No?
I'm not a fan of that
Lincoln?
Movie. I'm not a fan of Silver
Lining. No, really?
No.
Oh.
I am not.
Come on. That's
I am
a
not
good
a fan
movie.
Of that movie. It's 2 hours of people acting like no human being would act. It's 2 hours of this like it's like, Dad, I gotta go, Dad, son, sit down, watch the game, the Eagles, sit down, the Eagles are on, watch the game, I gotta go, Dad, I gotta watch the
this,
game.
The whole family are psychopaths, oh, that's the meaning of it.
That movie drove me
wow.
crazy.
You learn something new every day about your guests, let me
I
tell
was
you.
Not a fan of that movie.
Okay, well, first of all, I fell in love with Jennifer Lawrence in that movie, well, more so than Hunger Games.
Okay.
But I just really like Bradley Cooper's performance, I really like Jennifer Lawrence's performance, I thought they had great chemistry, and I thought the ending was very, it was fun, and it was uplifting, and it was crazy at the same time, I don't know, I dug it, man.
The artifice on that movie for me was just like, everybody in that movie was acting so gotcha. Hard. It just, I couldn't. I
understood.
Couldn't do
Life
it.
Of Pi is another one that got a lot of hype that year. When yeah. I think he won Best Director.
And it
I
did. Ang Lee won.
Really liked it, but didn't quite love it.
Right.
But yeah, so for me, it's Zero Dark Thirty. For me, it's a home. That's a home run hit over right. Argo. What about you?
For me, Django would be a home run hit over Argo.
Right,
so regardless.
We're going to say they lost it that year.
So they're now.
All right, we're down to the final three.
Down to the final three. But by the way, notice a trend here.
What's that?
Starting in this year. 2011, The Artist.
Yeah.
2012, Argo.
Yeah.
What do these movies have in common?
About Hollywood.
Yes. So let's just keep an eye on that.
Let's keep an eye on that. Okay. 2013 86th Annual Academy Awards, American Hustle,
mm-hmm.
Captain Phillips,
mm-hmm.
Dallas Buyers Club,
yeah.
Gravity,
yeah.
Her,
yeah.
Nebraska,
yeah.
The Wolf of Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
12 Years a Slave, and Philomena? Oh, Philomena. I have no idea what that means. This is a strong year.
It's a great year.
This is a great year. This is one of the best years I've seen so far. So I'll tell you right
this
away.
This is hard.
12 Years won.
12 Years a Slave won.
Wolf of Wall Street, and I would say her were the other two that really yeah. I loved that year.
And Gravity for me too.
I love.
But I'll give. But just on a mm-hmm. if you're going for similar genre,
mm-hmm.
Wolf of Wall Street again. I will sit and watch that movie every anytime day. It's
yes,
on.
Totally agree.
And her wrecked me. That movie, it hit me at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say anything bad about 12 Years a Slave. It's a very powerful
movie. It's a
really
well-made powerful
movie. It's a very well-made yes. powerful movie. Uh-huh. But if I'm going for what is really going to stick with me
okay.
and what I think will mm-hmm. stand the test of time, I would go a different way. If I'm being honest.
So do you think they got it right, though? Do you think there's... Which one do you think really should have won it?
I would have given it to The Wolf of Wall Street easily.
Here's the thing. I love 12 Years a Slave. I think it was a great movie. Yeah. I think it was fantastic. Wolf of Wall Street was my number one movie that year.
Mm-hmm.
But was it Scorsese doing Scorsese? What he does, again, great.
It was different from anything I'd seen him do before, personally.
Really? You wouldn't say it was similar to Goodfellas or Casino in some ways?
In stylistic ways.
Yeah.
But not in mm-hmm. just the way that he shot and the way that the movie was mm-hmm. put together and the performances in it. I didn't find it derivative. I know some people said that it was or that it was too excessive. I don't mm-hmm. know. I did not find
so
it.
So we both give it to Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, I think we got to say got it wrong that year.
I think so.
I hate to say it,
but it's just, again... And also, people, I think, still are talking about The Wolf of Wall Street.
No one's really talking.
And 12 Years a Slave, again, very powerful movie.
Yeah.
Important subject matter.
Yeah.
But as a film, if you're divorcing yourself from that,
yeah.
as a film, when was the last time
yeah.
anybody really...
True. I won't be referenced as much as Wolf of Wall Street. No. And I think it'll stand test.
Or even Gravity, or Her, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not her, but Gravity, technically, and I don't know. I don't have anything against 12 Years a Slave. I just think that it the message drove the movie there, and...
Yeah.
And it's an important message, but as a film, I don't think it's one that is going to stand up.
I mean, that's a tough one. That's probably one of the hardest ones we've had
so
far.
It is, yeah.
2014, we're hitting the last 2 years here.
Here we go.
American Sniper.
Yep.
Boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
The Grand Budapest Hotel. Wes Anderson's first nomination for Best Picture.
Yep.
The Imitation Game. Selma, which I loved, actually. Theory of Everything, I really liked.
Yep.
And then Whiplash.
Yep.
This is tough.
It's not for me.
It's only tough for my second choices because it's a runaway for me.
Yeah.
Between, for me, I love Selma Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
I originally put Selma on my number one film of the year, mm-hmm. and I had Whiplash number two, and I struggled which one should be one or two. And then now, if I could go back, I would put Whiplash number one.
For me, Boyhood and Whiplash run away with this.
Okay, so we both have Whiplash.
Yeah.
How close is Boyhood and Whiplash? Is it like...
I would probably give the edge to Boyhood, but Whiplash is like... When people ask me what my favorite movies of the year were that year, mm-hmm. I would say 1A was Boyhood and 1B, Whiplash.
Same thing with me and Selma, but Whiplash just recently, I just think it's a little bit better.
Birdman,
yeah.
Best picture?
I don't know, man.
Technical awards, fine. Yeah. Acting awards, fine.
Best
picture? But again... Let's look at our pattern. What is Birdman about?
Hollywood.
Yes.
Broadway.
So now we have 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah. They're really
Artist, Argo, and Birdman. 3 out of 4 years, the Best Picture winner has been about actors or Hollywood.
Yeah. It's true.
And what's the biggest voting block in the Academy?
Hollywood.
Actors.
Actors. That's a good point. So I guess we have to go Whiplash. I think they got it wrong for sure. I think Birdman's good.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I would
four,
even
five.
Go Boyhood
That's
over
six
Birdman.
Years in a row, by the way.
Yeah. I would even go Boyhood over Birdman.
As would I.
Yeah, see, they're slipping up now, man. What's happened? Last year, let's get to this 2015. Let's finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
Spotlight won.
Yep.
I think you and I both would have loved nothing more than to see Mad Max Fury Road win, but
Absolutely.
We knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yep.
But is that what you would have voted for?
Maybe.
Would you go to Room? Would you go
I
to The Martian,
for Room?
Revenant, Brooklyn, Bridge of Spies? Get out of here, Bridge of Spies. Big Short.
I would have voted for 3 of those. Big Short, I would have voted for.
Uh-huh.
Room, I would have voted for. And Spotlight, I would have voted for. And Mad Max Fury Road, I would have voted for.
I would have voted for Room.
Yep.
Mad Max.
Yep.
Revenant.
Mm.
Spotlight.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I would seriously consider.
Right. But again, I think this was a case of just not a runaway winner.
Yeah.
And
in my heart, it was a runaway winner. It was Mad Max.
And I was certainly not dissatisfied with Spotlight winning.
Yeah, that's the thing I said. Like, I really didn't want Big Short to win because for a while it was Spotlight, Revenant, and Big Short were the three heavy favorites.
Right.
Because Big Short won the Producers Guild. But I knew Mad Max wasn't going to win.
Right.
I knew there was no chance.
Right.
So I was kind of split between Revenant and Spotlight. Like, I would have been happy with either of those winning.
Right.
So do we have to kind of give him this one?
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah, we do. So... They missed 6 in a row.
They missed 6 in a row. They hit a rough
patch. So
their
final tally is 12 for 26, which would simplify down to 6 out of 13, which is just below. So
they're
more than half the time.
They're wrong.
They're not getting it right, our opinion.
According to our
opinion,
yeah.
And according to our opinion, they get it wrong more than half the time.
Interesting, man. You know, this is, you know, a pretty long podcast. If we went to what movies that should have gotten nominated that weren't even nominated.
Oh, yeah, this is just judging by what was nominated.
Yeah, we could have done a whole another hour about movies that should have been nominated.
Absolutely we could.
Yeah. One that sticks out, I really love The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. And he got that Best Actor nom, but I think it should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. Anyway, well, guys, that was it. We did this whole. This
we
was
did this
fun.
Whole thing. This was supposed to be our opening game.
We were going to do this as a little opening game, and we said, "Let's screw it. We're going to go down." But I love talking about movies I haven't got to talk in a while. Like
I know.
I've never talked about Terms of Endearment before. It'll probably be the last time I talk about Terms of Endearment. Was it Terms of Endearment? Am I getting it wrong?
That was in the 80s.
No, I'm thinking of Remains of the Day.
Remains of the
These
Day.
All movies
there you go.
Together,
all they're all, they're
they
all sticking
all go
together.
Together.
All right. There you go. I'll come back soon. We'll talk. We'll do a conventional episode.
Maybe one day. Yes. And then maybe down the road we'll do like 70s, 80s.
Yes.
Because those are two great decades.
That's
for films.
A deal. And then, talk about like 1975. So, oh, boy.
We'll get
that'll
some
be
good
a fun
ones.
Discussion.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So thanks so much for listening. Go ahead, Dan. Tell me where they can find you.
You can find me on Screen Junkies and Screen Junkies Plus, and you can also find me on Twitter, @MerleDan.
@MerleDan. Josh, a.k.a. JTE on Facebook, @SchmoesJTE on Twitter. Catch me. I'm all around these days. I got Screen Junkies. I'm engineering. I'm popping my head out. I show up on a show once in a while. Schmoes No Phase 6 is starting, if you're listening to this, is starting this Thursday, March 10th, 2016. Going to be some awesome shows coming up. Box Office Breakdown. Every Monday I do a live show where we basically cover the box office numbers. And then you got this show, JT Movie Things and JT Movie News. I'm just a building empire, Dan.
You're building a JT empire.
I'm building
empire.
A JT
I love
empire.
It. I love it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and keep watching those movies.